Mr. Russ, and good morning, everyone, and welcome to those of you on the webcast. My first experience with fasting was a few weeks after my baptism on the Day of Atonement. It was not a good fast for me physically. And I had no information as to how to prepare for the fast, as far as when to eat my last meal or how much liquid to drink. So at the beginning of the afternoon or middle afternoon, my head began to hurt. And at that time I was a coffee drinker. And at sunset, I did something that because of ignorance and not knowing what to do, I went in the refrigerator and got me a nice cold orange crush to drink. And for those of you who are from the north, if you spend time outside and you allow yourself to stay too long and your hands get very cold, and you go inside and you turn the faucet on warm water on those very cold hands, you know how that feels if you ever experienced that. But when this orange crust hit the top of my mouth, I had this very, very painful feeling. And as they say, I didn't do that again. But the next year, I was more prepared for the Day of Atonement. So I didn't experience any discomfort other than being hungry and thirsty. My title this morning is Fasting, a Powerful Spiritual Tool. The Bible shows us that many notable figures spent time in fasting, going without food and water. And God even commands us to fast at least one day out of the year. What does fasting teach us? How can we use this spiritual tool for growth? Some of the quotes I'll be using is from a pamphlet titled Tools for Spiritual Growth by the United Church of God. The only thing that some in our society today know about fasting is that it can be a way to lose weight. But for our purposes, it is much more than that. There's a lot to understand about fasting. The Bible has much to say about this very important but often neglected spiritual tool. God desires and expects his followers to fast. Jesus was asked why his disciples did not fast like the other religious people. He replied in a short parable in Matthew 9, 14 and verse 14 and 15. He stated that after he was no longer among them, they would fast. During the time he was with the disciples, he was there to teach them. He was there to instruct them how to live. They didn't need to fast. But once he returned to his Father, at the right hand of his Father, they would need to fast to gain that spiritual knowledge and spiritual strength to face the challenges that they would face. And also, by this, he meant that all future disciples, including us, would fast. We may ask the question, why? Because we need fasting with prayer and Bible study to help us maintain that close relationship with God, the Father and Jesus Christ. And there are other major spiritual benefits, as I will lay out as I continue. When Jesus spoke to his disciples about how to fast, he clearly was expecting that they would fast. Let's turn over to Matthew 6, and we read verse 16 through 18. Matthew 6, verse 16 through 18. Verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Verse 17. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Verse 18. So that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. He did not say if you fast, but he said when you fast. So there is an expectation that we would fast. And here in Matthew 6, Jesus emphasized fasting as much as praying and doing good works. Fasting is mentioned prominently in the Old and New Testament. The biblical records of who fasts is a virtual who is who of the Bible, including Moses, David, Elijah, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Daniel, and Anna, and David, and Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul engaged in fasting often. And we read that in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 27. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 27. Here, Paul describes some of the perils and some of the troubles that he went through. In weariness, verse 27, and in toil, in sleepiness, often in hunger, thirst, in fasting, often, in cold and nakedness. The question may be, what is fasting? To some, that may be a question. In one sense of the word, all of us fast. When we go to bed and we wake up the next morning, unless we get up during the night and have a midnight snack, we get up the next morning and we break the fast, which is called breakfast. Uncle's Bible Dictionary explained that the word fast in the Bible is from the Hebrew word sum, meaning to cover the mouth. The Greek word nesteuo means to abstain. For spiritual purpose, it means to go without food and water. However, when people speak of fasting, they usually mean a longer period of time of deliberately choosing not to eat or drink. It can be a whole day, part of a day, or more than a day. Years ago, I worked for a food distributing company, and during some days during the week, we had more loads to go out or more deliveries than we had drivers. And they asked those of us who could drive box trucks and who could change gears to step in and make the deliveries. This particular day, made the choice to fast. And I came in, and I was surprised that I had to make deliveries. And that day, I think it was maybe 15 or 20 deliveries that I had to make, and that took most of the day. So there was no time for prayer, no time to go in a corner somewhere and study or pray. And I learned that that's not a good idea to fast while you're working, because you don't have the time to pray, you don't have the time to study, there's too many distractions. One of the things that many people sometimes do is a health fast. It's temporary. It's a temporary restricted diet that offers certain health benefits. But we are here addressing fasting for spiritual health, which involves abstaining from food and drink while spending an extra lot of time in prayer and Bible study, meditation. Let's look at an example of fasting in Exodus 34 and verse 28. Exodus 34 and verse 28. Exodus 34 and verse 28, where Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments. Verse 28. So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights, and he neither ate bread nor drank water. And he, speaking of God, wrote on the tablets of the words of the covenant and the Ten Commandments. Let's turn to Esther chapter 4 and verse 16. A familiar example of Esther, about Esther and Mordecai. And they pray for the Jews not to be destroyed. Esther 4 and verse 16. Verse 16. Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me, neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and so will I go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Barnes notes on the Bible comments on this verse. Again, the religious element shows itself. Esther's fast could have no object but to obtain God's favor and protection in the dangerous coast on which she was about to enter. Ideally, we should spend most of the waking part of a fast period praying and studying and meditating. A spiritual fast is normally a 24-hour period of time. Only the Day of Atonement is from sunset to sunset. You can choose to fast from 5 this afternoon to 5 tomorrow. That's 24, or either 12 tomorrow to 12 Monday. That's 24-hour period. But only the Day of Atonement stipulates that we fast from sunset to sunset. There are some misunderstandings about fasting. A healthy person who is not perspiring much can go without food and water for about 3 days before the body begins to stress. And a healthy person can go without food for several days if he is drinking water. Thus, the amazing long 40-day fast by Moses, Elijah, and Jesus Christ, two are referencing Deuteronomy 9:9 and 1 Kings 19:8, were possible only through God's intervention. God gave them the strength to fast that 40 days. Over and by ourselves, without God intervention, we could not, no human being would be able to survive for 40 days. How long we might safely fast depends on our individual health. If for some reason we are unsure or have health limitation, it would be advisable to seek a doctor's advice. Then, if you are just beginning to fast, learn how to fast, we should start by skipping a meal or two until you get up to, where you can fast for a 24-hour period. We should not consider discomforts, including feeling hungry, thirsty, and less energetic as adverse effects. For most of us who drink coffee or especially coffee drinkers, a headache is going to be a byproduct of it. But many in the past have been told to refrain from drinking coffee at least a day or two before you fast. Another option is a partial fast, such as mentioned in Daniel 10 and verse 3. Let's look at that one. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 3. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 3. Let's read verse 2. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 to 4 weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Here, an example of Daniel, who only took in as much food as he needed or water to be safe, and he spent the extra time in prayer, Bible study, and meditation. Fasting is unpopular in our culture of instant self-gratification. We tend to think that every day that we need to eat 3 full meals. And when you get older, sometimes it's harder to eat 3 full meals because, you know, your body is not spinning off that food as quickly as it was when you were younger. In our culture, it's a continual feasting. It seems that there is no time or no place to fast. From that viewpoint alone, fasting is good for the character, or good for building character and developing self-discipline and commitment, moderation, and better eating habits. What are some of the reasons for fasting? Fasting is an important part of building a right and strong relationship with God. Godly fasting is miles apart from a mere hunger strike used for political reason or political power or to gain attention and for a personal cause. Number one, fasting is an exercise in self-discipline over our fleshly cravings while keeping God first in our thoughts. It liberates us from slavery to our own appetite while we focus on the true bread of life, Jesus Christ. When fasting, we make a small self-sacrifice to focus on our Savior's awesome sacrifice and plan for us. It would be a good idea, as the ministers have said in the past, to fast before Passover and the days on unleavened bread, prior to renewing our covenant with Jesus Christ by partaking of the bread and wine. By nature, we are self-centered. And must work at becoming more God-centered. A major purpose of fasting, number two, is to learn humility, to better understand how great God is and how weak and sinful and needy we are. King David understood this when he wrote in Psalms 35 and verse 1, God delights in humble hearts. He also said in Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 2. Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah 66 and verse 2. Isaiah 66 and verse 2. For all those things my hand was made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite heart, contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. In Matthew 5 and verse 3, Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Here Jesus Christ made it clear that if we fast to show off, to appear to men as fast as to be fasting, we are hypocrites and we have no reward from God. He did not mean that we should not tell anyone, especially our spouse. Jesus was talking about the necessity of a right motive and attitude. Jesus spoke a parable about the proud Pharisee who was bragging to God that I fast twice a week. This is in Luke 18, verse 9 through 12. This man imagined himself to be humble and was proud of it. Fasting with such a conceited attitude is meaningless or is worthless. The third point is God wants us to hunger and thirst for righteousness. When we fast, we increasingly feel hungry and physically weak, in addition to reinforcing the fact that God is the one who sustains us and supplies all our needs. An important lesson that we should learn is as we become rapidly weaker spiritually, we neglect the nourishment of prayer, Bible study, and all other efforts to be God's spiritually transformed sons and daughters. If we neglect the prayer, and neglect the fasting, and the Bible study, those things will kill us spiritually. The Bible has only one command regarding when to fast. God's people are commanded to fast on the Day of Atonement from sundown to sundown in Leviticus 23, verse 27 through 32. Here, the Day of Atonement is listed with all the other annual Sabbath days. Here are some additional benefits of fasting. We have more time for prayer, more time for Bible study, and meditation. Every one of us struggle to make the time for God. And it's easy to get caught up in our day-to-day responsibilities and duties. We can free up a lot of time if we don't have to think about eating or drinking. And we can use that time for prayer and Bible study. These tools help us to focus on God and bring us closer to God. Another additional point is fasting gives us an attitude check. Fasting is immediately humbling. It makes us realize how human we are and how much we need to depend on God for our spiritual substance. How is our attitude when there's a church-wide fast call? Do we question why are we fasting? Several years ago, maybe more than several years ago, when Mr. Dennis Luker and the Council of Elders asked us to fast for unity, Some were critical of the fast, as if what good was this fast going to do, and other negative comments. But we needed to fast to bring unity. In 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14, 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. Fasting also helps us renew our closeness to God. Sometimes we may feel like our relationship with God is more like an acquaintance or a friend or a neighbor. We don't have that feeling that God is our Father. What can we do when this attitude or this feeling come upon us? James 4 and verse 8 tells us, James chapter 4 and verse 8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Humbling ourselves with fasting is one of the best ways to draw near to God. When we take that 24-hour effort to strengthen our relationship with God, he responds. Fasting is very important. Is a very important part of having a healthy relationship with God. It helps put our spiritual and physical life in a proper perspective. God gives us specific ways to worship and honor him in the Bible, and he instructs us to fast from many scriptures. One example is Joel chapter 2 and verse 12. Joel 2 and verse 12. Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So we can take a time and find a day to dedicate to God in fasting. It will be worth our effort. Proper fasting often result in a significant spiritual breakthroughs. While we rely on the spiritual tool of prayer, Bible study, and meditation on a daily basis, we occasionally need to fast or need that powerful tool of fasting. There can be many reasons to fast, such as we might have personal problems that we need to overcome, or a difficult sin that we are working on, or facing a major decision, or a church crisis, or the council and a president may ask us to fast for the council meeting, or a threat of danger. However, we must never view fasting as pressuring God to get something that we want. Let's look at Isaiah 53 and verse 3. Isaiah 53 and verse 3. Isaiah 58 and verse 3. Isaiah 58 and verse 3. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your labors. God wants us to pray about our problems, but not try to dictate the solution or the answer to them. Our attitude should be like that of Jesus Christ when he prayed in Luke 22 and verse 42. Luke 22 and verse 42. Not my will, but yours be done. At the preaching of Jonah, the people of Nineveh believed God and they proclaimed a fast in Jonah 3 and verse 5. To beseech God for his protection, Ezra proclaimed a fast for all the exiles returning to Judah in Ezra 8, verse 21 through 23. In Isaiah 58, verse 4 and 5, is the passage that consists of the right and the wrong way to fast. We read verse 3, but let's read verse 4 and 5. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate, and to strike with the fists of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day, to make your voice heard on high. Verse 5. Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Let's go down to verse fasting should teach us to be willing to sacrifice in many ways in the service of others. How much are we willing to sacrifice? Let's read verse 6 and 7 of Isaiah 58. Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bounds of the wickedness, to undo the heavy burden, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Verse 7. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. God's words exhort us to stand fast in the Lord in 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 8. Here, the English word fast means to be firmly fixed or steadfast. From what the Bible teaches us about fasting, we see that people who sincerely and regularly fast and pray to God will very likely stand fast in the Lord. In conclusion, the reasons we fast are: fasting is an exercise in self-discipline over our fleshly cravings while keeping God first in our thoughts. Number 2, to learn humility, to better understand how great God is and how weak and sinful and needy we are. Number 3, God wants us to hunger and thirst for his righteousness. Proper fasting often results in significant spiritual breakthroughs. When we rely on the spiritual tools of prayer, Bible study, meditation on a daily basis, we occasionally need the powerful tool of fasting.